John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet. Congratulations, by the way. You had the identity. As far as I can tell, you had Octavio Zambrano first.
I don't get worked up about that stuff.
You should. It's good. Get worked up about it.
I mean, there's some dispute as to who had it first, so it's whatever.
It's one of those things. It was so much easier before social media when you could just lie.
Yeah, you remember those days?
Oh, absolutely. I took advantage of it. Octavio Zambrano is expected. No, he will be named head coach of the Canadian men's team tomorrow. What do we need to know about him? What do you think of the hire?
What we need to know about him is he's been around. I mean, he has MLS experience. He's coached the LA Galaxy and the New York Metro Stars. Mm-hmm. But that was at a time when, you know, the league, MLS was very different. This was, you know, it was a much smaller league. This was pre-David Beckham, so the pre-designated player era. So there's that. He's coached clubs in, you know, Colombia, his native Ecuador, Moldova, Hungary. So I kind of like that he's kind of been around and he has some sort of experience. And it seems like he's kind of hardened from that a little bit. What's most interesting, I think, is this is his first time he's been put in charge of a national team. So, you know, that's a different dynamic because when you're in charge of a club, you're there every day. You're kind of dealing with the players. Now, when you're in charge of a national team, you only see the players once every few months. And in Canada's case, it's usually only once or twice a year, if that. So I'll be interested to see how he kind of handles that dynamic, making the change from, you know, club manager, where it's very day-to-day, to national team manager, where, as I said, he doesn't have access to the players quite as much.
How important would his familiarity with this region be? I mean, as an Ecuadorian coach, how important would that be?
I think it's very important. I think in terms of, you know, the one of the major sort of hiccups for the program has long been the, you know, the failure of the national team to get results in places like Mexico and in Central America. You know, and he's traveled to places like that. When he was with the Galaxy, they competed in, you know, CONCACAF. Well, it wasn't the Champions League back then. So, but he knows what it's sort of like to compete in places like that. And I'm sure, you know, just being Ecuadorian, he would have like played in, you know, South America as well. So, I think that experience is vitally important because, as I said, it's long sort of been one of the major hiccups for this program.
This is probably impossible to answer, but I like asking questions that are impossible to answer. Is he the type of guy, his reputation, what we know of his personality, is he the type of guy who is going to be able to kind of engender that sort of respect from potential national team players? In other words, a guy that players may be deciding whether or not they want to go and go, yeah, I'm going to go and play for that guy. That kind of intrigues me.
It's a hard one, Jeff. I don't necessarily think the name doesn't jump out.
Okay,
right?
So it's not like it's not a name that a lot of players would go, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they might know of him and they will have heard of his reputation, but I doubt very much that anyone who's kind of on the fence about whether they're going to represent Canada is saying, oh, well, Octavio Zambrano, for sure, I'll definitely do it. That'd probably been more the case if they'd gone out and hired someone like Bob Bradley, the U.S. coach, who's still without a job, last coach, Swansea City. That's more someone with an international name and reputation far more than Octavio Zambrano. That would have moved the needle a little bit. I'm not sure Zambrano does it all that much.
Do you think they talked to Bradley?
It's an interesting one. I'm sure they did. I haven't heard anything, but I know there was certainly some interest on the CSA's part. As I said, he's been out of contract since being let go by Swansea City. He's coached the U.S. national team and had relatively success doing it. He's coached MLS teams and had relatively success doing that. So I think that's all sort of bodes well in terms of, you know, what he could potentially have brought to the Canadian national team. But I suspect, you know, his contract demands would have been pretty high because he can command, you know, big money. And I think, you know, the budget is only so big. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, you know, for anyone wanting, oh, well, why don't they go out and get, Goose Hiddink or Fabio Capello, you know, you can't sort of afford to spend millions of dollars. The CSA can on these guys, and that's what it would cost to get them.
So we know that at least initially, the talent level is going to be what it is. I mean, maybe he has a long-term impact on the program and the talent level increases somehow. But initially, the talent level is what it is. And as you pointed out, it's not as if the Canadian national team plays a particularly lengthy schedule,
right?
Or plays a lot of games. Tactically, what would you expect to see from him? And tactically, what should one expect from the head coach of the Canadian men's team? The tactics even matter.
Yeah, I think you had just have to play to the team's strengths and not sort of introduce a new style or system that is over their heads, and not necessarily that. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess he kind of did. I mean, I respect Benito Floro's attempt to sort of elevate the tactical IQ and awareness.
I was going to ask you that. He did do that, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did that to a certain extent. But, you know, we have to be reasonable, too. A lot of the guys, you know, as I said, the talent pool is just, you know, it's mm-hmm. not as deep as it once was. And he was forced to call in, you know, a lot of players who just aren't necessarily seeing a lot of playing time for their club team. So, I mean, it's hard to expect them to sort of elevate their tactical acumen and their tactical sense of awareness when, you know, they're not getting regular reps. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think, you know, in terms of Zambrano, I think he just has to keep it really relatively simple, kind of get them to play to their strengths, get as many games as possible too. I think that's the other thing. If you can get, you know, a lot, if you're playing on every international date,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're playing Scotland next week. If you can play like as many friendlies as you can, they're playing in the Gold Cup this year. So I think that'll sort of benefit them as well. I think just that experience of getting all the guys together and getting them as many reps as possible, that's going to be, you know, I think huge for them.
Where does the Gold Cup fit into things for the Canadian men's team? Because that's kind of, that's an event that we've had a little bit of success in.
Not recently, but
not
yeah.
recently, but in the past, we've had past success.
Yes.
It is kind of, I think, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a touchstone, I guess, for Canadian soccer in some ways. Is there enough time for him to get his program, whatever program it is in place, before the Gold Cup?
You mean in terms of developing?
Yeah.
It's a short turnaround, right? Because he's, you know, that starts in late July. You know, he's going to be introduced on Friday. He'll probably take charge. The first game will be next week when they play friendly mm-hmm. in Scotland. They have another friendly against Curacao in Montreal in June. So it's only two friendlies. It's a relatively short window for him to get prepared. I mean, you know, I just don't see it. I think the Gold Cup will sort of be part of the learning experience and kind of part of the rebuild. And we've been talking about a rebuild for years and years. But I think that's, you know, you go into the Gold Cup not expecting much, just really hoping that that'll be sort of the tournament where, you know, he can really kind of get the players together and kind of bond, and you'll kind of see the, you know, the seeds of what he's trying to seed.
In a general sense, you know, we know that the Canadian team, we know that De Guzman is retired. There's mm-hmm. a bit of a turnover there. In terms of talent, in terms of players coming up, where is the national team program right now? Is there any hope in the horizon?
Well, I mean, there's hope in the sense that, you know, more and more young Canadians are kind of, you know, getting chances at MLS clubs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at someone like Jonathan Osorio, who, you know, 5 years ago, would we have predicted that he'd be a regular starter on one of the best teams in Major League Soccer? I don't think so.
You think he might get a regular turn with Zambrano?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, you know, there was obviously something there between him and Benito, whatever the issue was. Whether he just didn't sort of fancy him as a player or was something, you know, mm-hmm. a personal issue. But I do think he'll get, I mean, you know, having not talked to Zambrano, right. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I have to think he's going to call, you know, a guy who's playing regular minutes in MLS soccer for one of the best mm-hmm. clubs in the league. I'd have to think he'll do that. And, you know, so I take comfort in that. I mean, I take comfort in the fact there's a kid out in Vancouver named Alfonso Davies, who's mm-hmm. 16, who, you know, was born in Liberia but grew up in Canada, and there's some question as to when he'll be available to Canada, but he's a bright prospect, and he's already being sort of charted and kept close tabs on by a lot of top clubs in Europe. So if eventually he plays for Canada, that'd be huge because he's a massively talented kid.
It's great of you to do this. Thanks so much.
No problem, buddy.
Thank you for stepping in.
You're welcome. Mike Anytime.
You replaced Mike Petke. Thank you so much for doing this. And that news conference is tomorrow in Toronto, right?
Yes. Friday, I think, at 10 a.m. at some fancy schmancy downtown hotel.
And they're also going to unveil the new away kit, right?
Yes, because fashion is their biggest
Got to sell. Got to push product, man. Got to push product. Thanks for doing this, John.
No problem.